Hey everyone, so today we're going to shine light on a fascinating and super important topic for growing in psyche and spirit, and it's the topic of the shadow. This is a really a topic that is confused and kind of badly taught quite often, I think, and one that people tend to misunderstand, even people that are passionate about this kind of work, this inner work. So today I really just want to set out my view of the shadow and all the research I've done, and I want to distill it down into a few essential points. It's not going to be a very technical presentation. I'm not going to go heavy with terminology or anything. I just want to make it very practical, very grounded, but also rich and nuanced, and not trying to oversimplify. And I hope you'll find it a nice combination, and I really hope that it helps you to more effectively do the shadow work exercise that we covered last week. So let's get into it. This is the Deep Psychology Podcast. I'm Ross Edwards, author, coach, podcaster, and avid practitioner and teacher of psychology and spirituality. In listening to this podcast, you're part of the worldwide Deep Psychology community of tens of thousands of people undertaking profound personal transformation. You can find me on Spotify and Apple, where I release new episodes every Thursday. If you dig what I do and want to help the show grow, share this with a friend and leave a review. You can also go deeper with this work by training with me at deep-psychology.com. Let's get started. Just a word before we get talking about shadow work. I just want to say that we've still got the July Sunday set every Sunday at 2 p.m. Eastern Time, 8 p.m. Central European Time, 7 p.m. British Time. And these are just new meditations every week that I'm releasing that I'm encouraging you to do every single week, and then to continue to do Monday to Saturday, and then come back the next Sunday and get the next episode. So we're coming to the end of the month, sort of now, and but we're still gonna have two more. So if you've not come along yet, then you can check out the ones that have come before and then join us next Sunday. All right, cool. Let's get into the topic of shadow work. Now, if you learn about shadow work on the internet, and even from, you know, a professional, a therapist, or from books, it's quite a rocky area to study on your own, because I think there's a lot of conflicting information out there, and it can be tricky to know, are they talking about the same thing? Are they talking about different things? Are they agreeing? Are they disagreeing? You know, what is going on here? So I'm going to present my view of shadow work. It actually includes Freud's and Jung's, who are two of the main researchers, you know, Sigmund Freud, Carl Jung. These are like the names in the psychological world. It includes those, but it doesn't get caught in their traps, I think. And I also think my view is a much more optimistic view of the shadow. And you'll see why as we go along here. So basic definition, right? This is like our working definition of the shadow. Is basically any trait that we have repressed within us, right? This can be a desire, it can be a drive, it can be like a sort of sub-personality, it can be a certain behavior, it can be a certain habit, for example. So it's a drive that we have to do something that we have come to repress for some reason. We've come to deny it, to kind of remove ourselves from it, to try and sort of push it down into the shadows. And the way this basically happens is that we judge the trait as being undesirable or antisocial or being perhaps useless or being detestable in some way, and we shove it down, and we stop engaging in it, we hide it, and psychically we reject it. And what essentially happens with these traits, and this is why it's called the shadow, is that basically the trait or the drive or the desire doesn't actually disappear, right? That's the crucial insight. It does not disappear from us. what actually kind of happens is that we sort of put a lid on it. Like, imagine this fizzy bottle of Coke. I don't drink Coke, and I recommend you don't either. But just for the image of it. A fizzy bottle of Coke, and it's bubbling over, and all this raw impulse, raw desire. With the shadow, what we're doing is we're basically putting a lid on it, right? Now, does that mean that the Coke is no longer fizzy? No, it doesn't. Does it mean that your desire is no longer there? That raw impulse? No, it doesn't. What it means is that the lid is on it and it's been sort of damped down, right? Now, with a bottle of Coke, that's okay. There's no real issue in doing that. The issue when we repress a trait within us is that it actually remains in our subconscious. It disappears, it sort of goes into the shadows, into the background, and it acts on its own accord. And it acts without us being able to consciously get in touch with it, to feel it, to direct it as we wish. And we lose touch with the desire, right? What we also tend to do now with that desire is we tend to loathe it in ourselves and in others. You know, to repress it, we had to sort of loathe it, dislike it in a way. And then that's what we continue to do. So that keeps it in shadow, and it allows us to deny that we have that trait or that desire within us. And we'll talk about more about the effects of that. Now, you might ask, well, why does shadow get created? You know, why do we repress our traits, our inner drives, our impulses? Well, let me look at this from a developmental point of view, right? We go through not only stages of development in childhood, but stages of development throughout our entire lives in all kinds of developmental lines, whether it's kinesthetic, it's moral development, it's values development, it's cognitive development, whether there's so many different types of development that we go through, right? Now, one of the key things about this development that we go through is that in developing ourselves, we always have to push off against what has come before. Even in the simple case of trying to put a new habit in place, let's say I'm a smoker, right? In order to give up smoking, in some sense, I have to repress the desire to smoke, right? If I just let that impulse express itself freely, then I would never give up smoking, never, right? This is true of all change and all development. We have to sort of repress what we're doing before. You know, when you're a child and you can't follow the rules and you're just acting on all your impulses and you're sort of in your own little world trying to get your needs met and all that. For example, you need to repress all that just to get by, just to follow the rules and be accepted in your social group and your family and your school and your teacher and all that, to become the good little boy or girl. All of that needs to be repressed, right? So from the developmental point of view, it's actually a clever mechanism. It's an essential mechanism. It's like woven into the process of development and change, the shadow creation, right? Because whenever we need to change, we need to push off against what has come before, and we need to sort of let go of it. And within that, often it's not a clean break, it's more of a repression that happens, right? And this is where a lot of our shadow comes from. Also, shadow comes from social expectations, right? So let's say you're a child and you're in touch with your own desires. You're in sort of an egocentric phase where you are, you know, it's I want, I need, daddy, mummy, give me this, give me that, yes, no. Sort of black and white, all revolving around your desires and the satisfaction of your own desires, because you cannot really understand that your desires cannot always be met, right? We all go through that stage. It's a stage of human development. Now, what's going to happen? That causes resistance in your family. You know, your parents are at a higher level of development and they understand that your desires cannot always be met. They've got their own desires. There's other stuff going on more than just what you want. So they'll come along and say, you know, they'll put a brake on that impulse that you have to express your desires and to get them met. And that sort of your ability to impose yourself, right? So they sort of put a brake on it, right? So they come along and they reject that behavior and they say, no, this, you know, no, we don't have time for that. No, that goes against the rules of the house. That goes against the rules of our family. No, you can't walk around naked in the street because you're everyone can see your body, right? So they're putting a tap, or they're putting like a lid on your desires, right? And this happens not just when we're children, throughout life, right? Over and over again, we have to learn to shape our behavior for the social context that we find ourselves in. Otherwise, we're not going to fit in, and we're not going to live. We're not going to be happy. So we do it as a social mechanism as well, as a way to fit in socially and to learn how to function. So in that sense, creating shadow is regrettable, but it's like, well, what option do you have? You know, if you don't repress this trait, then you don't fit in, right? So from the sort of developmental point of view, and from the social point of view, you can say, well, actually, the shadow is very necessary, and there is no other way, in a sense. Even from a basic behavioral point of view, as I mentioned before, you want to change your behavior in any way, you have to repress what came before. I mean, that isn't always true, but you'll be surprised at how much shadow you have from past behavior change, something that I've discovered not so long ago, actually, that I have shadow from these things. So the shadow is just any repressed trait, and often it is a necessity. It's not because you're evil. It's not because it's not because there's something wrong with you. We all have shadow. We all have traits that are deemed antisocial or ineffective that we repress. Now, what other people will maybe not tell you about the shadow, we also repress positive personality traits, or traits that are potentially positive in some situations. Let's have take the example of self-esteem, right? You can actually repress your own self-esteem and deny it and sort of push it down into the shadows and into the background. And from that point on, it's going to be really difficult for you to have genuine self-esteem, because you've pushed it out, right? You've literally repressed it, and you're not in contact with it. So what's going to happen? It's going to create a lot of friction, because whenever you see people, we're sort of getting in more into the projection side of things now, but if you have repressed self-esteem, it's going to be like, you're going to be kind of physically and psychically limited by that. It's going to cause friction, because when you come up, when you sort of interact with people who have self-esteem and they are very much embodying it, it's going to really annoy you, because you have repressed it and denied it and basically hated it, right? And you are going to be searching in all directions for this self-esteem. Where's my self-esteem? Where's it gone? Everyone else seems to have self-esteem, but where's mine? When anyone criticizes you, even if it's a legitimate criticism, you're probably going to get more triggered than you would otherwise, because it's sort of like the lack of self-esteem leaves a hole inside of you. And deep down, you know it's there, because it was there, you've just repressed it. When someone criticizes you, it's sort of like they're pointing you at your own shadow, right? And it's going to really annoy you. And because you don't have that self-esteem to fall back on, you're basically going to be left with the self-criticism, and you're sort of overexposed to it, right? That's just one example. I mean, listen, these examples, there's so many possible examples, so many examples. Let's take another one. Anger. Oh my goodness me, anger is one of the most ubiquitous shadow traits that you'll find in yourself and people. I mean, And you can understand from a developmental point of view, it's totally necessary for us to repress anger. You know, if when children express their anger and they don't have the filter we do, it's kind of unpleasant, but also, well, you know, there's only so much harm they can do because they're children. If you had a fully grown man fully expressing his anger with no moral compunctions or anything else, it could be quite nasty, and it is pretty nasty. So from a social perspective and from a developmental point of view, we need to learn to repress our anger. However, as I said, often this isn't, well, maybe not repress, we have to learn to not express our anger so outrageously. But again, this, we're not really educated in this very well. We're educated more to repress it and judge it than anything else. So what happens? It goes into the shadow. Now, when anger is in the shadow, you still feel anger, but you don't recognize it's your own anger. And when other people are angry, that triggers your own shadow through the mechanism of projection, which we're going to talk about in a minute. And basically, they will seem a lot angrier than they actually are, or you will exaggerate their anger, and you will actually react with anger to that. But you're not realizing that you're angry at them because you yourself have got repressed anger and you do not like anger, right? And actually, your response is a victim response. It's not a response of imposing yourself, because you're not in touch with your own anger, with your own impulse to attack, right? You're not in touch with that. So you're going to respond as a victim. Stop being angry. Stop saying that. You're so blah, 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 blah. So it's angry, but it's sort of passive aggressive in a way, and it's sort of not fully owned. And I've written articles and I've done podcast episodes on repressed anger, and it is a huge problem, and it can actually lead to depression, anxiety, because, well, we'll talk about the possible causes of that. You can repress pro-social traits, healthy traits, you can repress antisocial and unhealthy traits, anything, any possible drive, even things like opinions, even things, you know, any impulse, you can repress it, and it can go into your subconscious, right? And from that point on, it's going to be bugging you without you knowing it, and you're not going to be able to be in touch with it. Now, one of the main ways to identify your shadow is basically by the people that piss you off, right? I mean, let's put it very bluntly. There are other ways, and I've talked about that in other places. Things like dreams, things like psychedelics are very good. In fact, my great awakening to my shadow took place on LSD, and I don't think I've ever seen it so clearly in my entire life. So that's a way. But one of the easiest ways, and one of the most sort of everyday ways, and one of the ways that we can really reduce the conflict that we have in our lives, is to look at the people that really annoy us, right? And what I can say to you is that you will have shadow. The traits that annoy you in them are your own shadow traits, right? Now listen, we can take this to one extreme. We can, for one thing, we can say, well, if they're angry and that annoys me, but now I know that anger must be a shadow trait of mine, then they're not really angry and I'm just making it up. No, that is a very naive explanation. I mean, all of us have anger. Everyone has anger in them, and we all need anger. The question is that the point is that when you repress your own anger, it annoys you when other people get angry, because you yourself cannot get angry and you've dissociated from your own anger. So of course it annoys you, right? Because you've got this hole in your psyche. It's nothing to do with the fact that they are angry. It's all because you have not got your anger fully reintegrated, right? So other people are still angry, yes, but you have repressed your anger. That's why their anger annoys you, right? So it's a subtle difference. I just see people making these very naive claims. Well, oh, well, if it annoys you that people get angry, then really you're the angry one and everyone else is not angry. No, 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 no. That's that's like saying you're the only angry person in the world and it's all your anger. No. That's not how it works, right? And furthermore, this fact right here that when we dislike someone and someone else, that is because it's a repressed trait. It does not mean we need to give up our morals, right? The desire to be good, the desire to follow the rules, the desire not to kill people, the desire not to be racist, the desire to be inclusive, the desire to be loving, these are all genuine human desires as well. They are just in conflict with the more primitive desires we have, right? And so we don't have to give up these higher desires and these higher morals. However, what I'm saying is that you have to re-own. We have to re-own all the primitive ones because they are still part of us. Even if we dislike them, we still have them. It's just that we choose not to act on them. There's a very big difference between repressing something and not acting on it and having something being integrated into your psyche and then choosing not to act on it. It's a different thing, right? Very different. And listen, it might sound extreme to say this, but listen, I would rather take more responsibility. I would rather discover, I would rather go through the process of reintegrating the trait in other people that annoys me, assuming that it's in my shadow, than never even getting to that point. I'd rather go through the process and say, okay, maybe actually, wait, it wasn't that repressed in me at all, than never going through the process and just kind of assuming that I hate them because they have the trait and nothing else, right? I would rather take more responsibility and then discover that I didn't need to, right? And I would encourage you to do that. We're trying to grow in psyche and spirit here, right? We're trying to have really amazing psychological health here with this podcast and with my website and all the work that I do. That's what we're trying to do. And so I would encourage you to take more responsibility, not in a neurotic way. It's like, okay, if this person is annoying me because they're angry, maybe I have repressed anger. I'll do the work. If I discover I do not have repressed anger, fine. We'll move on. But if I do discover it, well, hey, there. The extra responsibility was necessary. So that's what happens. We project our traits what basically happens is, yes, we get annoyed when someone has the trait and it's like we have this really negative reaction to it that sort of inflames the trait. So we're not making it up, but we are inflaming it. We're inflaming the other person's anger or their, any desire or trait. We are inflaming it because it's in our shadow and we are projecting it. And we're really just kind of very sensitive to any shadow traits that we have that are out there because we just don't like them. They're repressed in us. So that's what we're going to do is, and this is the basis of the technique that I showed you last week, which I'm not going to go into detail now. You're going to have to go and listen to that episode, but it's just such a valuable method to have in your armory. Yes, you have to make the assumption if you dislike someone, if you have conflict with someone, there is shadow there, right? Yes, take more responsibility than you might otherwise. And what you might realize is that actually you have shadow with pretty much everyone that you're close to. Like, I can guarantee you that I do. And I can pretty much guarantee that everyone does. I just don't think, people are aware of it. Literally, as I said, any trait that you do not like in other people is your own shadow, right? If you were fully in touch with your own impulse to do this, whatever this person is doing, whatever impulse or drive they have or personality trait, if you were fully in touch with your own desire to do what they're doing, you could not hate it in them because you realize that you do exactly the same thing. And I don't say that as to be condemning. We're human beings. We have all kinds of desires. We have the desire to kill. We have the desire to have wild sex. We have the desire to get angry and to smash shit up. We have the desire to run around naked. If you really start to get into this stuff, you will discover parts of your psyche that will surprise you and shock you. But we just have to be honest. And these traits exist in shadow for a reason. Many of them are antisocial, right? And it's a good thing they do. Otherwise, human society could not work as it does. But when we fully re-own them, especially with our, you know, when we're highly developed humans, we don't have to act on them. We might realize, no, I don't need to act on that stuff. But I'm not going to deny it, and I'm not going to project it. It's me, right? And what you'll come to discover is that really, you have the entire smorgasbord of human desires within you, right in your own psyche. And basically, the ones that you do not like are the ones that are in your shadow, right? And that is it. That is really the nutshell of human life and human desire and human shadow. You have all the desires in the world in your own psyche, and the ones you do not like are repressed. And all the conflict you have with other people, a lot of it is down to your own shadow and the fact that you do not like these traits in yourself, so you do not like them in other people, and it causes you all kinds of problems, right? So I think we've pretty comprehensively covered the shadow without getting too technical, but without leaving out very sort of important details, and without oversimplifying it or being too naive about the shadow, right? I think I've given a pretty good overview for you. So if you want to get going with shadow work, and I mean, this is just totally life-changing, and I think it's just a crucial part of living, having a full psyche and having a full life. I gave the example last week of, imagine you have 100 desires, but you're only in touch with 50 of them, and 50 of them are in your shadow. Imagine what your life is like. It's not very fun. It's really not fun. So I would really encourage you to get going with that. This exercise that I taught last week doesn't take long. It just takes a few minutes. But once you get it, once it becomes a habit, and once you've got it, and once you really understand it, wow, this is just such an important tool for your life, your ability to be a full human being, your ability to get on with other people, your ability to understand other people. And that, you know, the people you do not like are often just the people who express your shadow, and that are they are sort of expressing traits that you have worked beyond, but perhaps you have repressed them equally, right? It's just so powerful, right? And on the website, I've got more resources for the shadow, and on this podcast, you'll find other episodes as well if you do a bit of a search. Cool. Just before I go, I just want to mention that in September, we're starting a new online group that is going to be psycho-spiritual classes, meditation. We're going to be doing lots of meditation. We're going to be studying psychology, philosophy, things like the shadow. We're going to be doing exercises. There's going to be homework. You're going to have articles to take home. You're going to have guided audios. And it's only $50 for the month for four modules plus all the, for 4 weeks plus all the extras that you get. So I really hope you'll join me for that. I'm going to leave a link for you in the description if you want to check that out. Grand. Thanks a lot for joining me. I hope this has been insightful for you, and I will see you for the next episode. Thanks for listening. If you liked this episode, please leave a review and share with a friend. And if you'd like to go deeper, head to deep-psychology.com to join my training. Thanks for joining me, and I'll see you soon.